Thank you very much for being here with us this evening. So my name is Kadambakanana Swami. I am. My body appeared in this world in Holland, but spiritually I took my birth in Vrindavan. So some people say I'm from Holland, but it's not true. I'm from Vrindavan, and I'm not the only one. Half my life I dedicated somehow or other by Krishna's mercy to the Holy Dham in Vrindavan. He captured me. It wasn't my plan at all to be a devotee. I was thinking, even when I found out about Krishna consciousness, I thought, let's forget about it. This is... I looked at the temple and I studied the situation and I thought, this is not half work, you know. I thought, these people are totally serious. I thought, you either do this or you don't, and I just want. I thought, that settles that. But life took a different turn, and here I am, so many years later, and a long story in between, which we are not going to discuss, because we'd rather speak about a little bit about the words of Krishna. But since we are not just speaking about the words of Krishna, but we are living with the words of Krishna, therefore I sometimes say that Bhagavad Gita as it is not only a book of interesting verses and philosophy, but it's a way of life, really. Really, considering what Bhagavad Gita really is, it's a way of life. And therefore we recognize life in the Bhagavad Gita, and in life itself we recognize the Bhagavad Gita. And it is therefore so that one who is a real student of the Gita, when he's walking around in the street, he sees the Gita everywhere. Right? We see that life as we encounter it is nothing but the Gita illustrated. So with that, we want to begin in reading Bhagavad Gita. Okay, we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, from the 8th chapter, text number 14. The chapter title is Attaining the Supreme. Text 14. Ananya cheta satatam yomam smarati nichasa tasyaham sulabhaparta nitya yuktasya yogina. Translation. For one who always remembers me, without deviation, I'm easy to obtain, O son of Prita, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. Purport. This verse especially describes the final destination attained by the unalloyed devotees who serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Bhakti Yoga. Previous verses have mentioned four different kinds of devotees. The distressed, the inquisitive, those who seek material gain, and the speculative philosophers. Different processes of liberation has also been described: Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Hatha Yoga. The principles of these yoga systems have some bhakti added, but this verse particularly mentions pure bhakti, without mixture of jnana, karma, or hatha, as indicated by the word ananya chetaha. In pure bhakti yoga, the devotee desires nothing but Krishna. A pure devotee does not desire promotion to heavenly planets, nor does he seek oneness with the Brahma Jyoti or salvation or liberation from material entanglement. A pure devotee does not desire anything. It continues, but I'll start already speaking a few words. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find that the writer, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, is really performing a miracle, because he is in his 90s, advanced stage of the night in his 90s. He was in Bengal. He had a dream about Lord Nityananda, not an ordinary dream. But Lord Nityananda appeared in his dream in such an extraordinary way that he was overwhelmed by transcendental emotions, by great symptoms of love of God. Subsequently, Lord Nityananda ordered him to go to Vrindavan and said, and there you will attain all good fortune. So, as soon as he woke up, he went to Vrindavan. He walked, way in his 90s, right? Something like 1200 kilometers, right? Walked, I mean, don't ask me to do it, I'll die on the way for sure, right? And I'm about just over half the age he was. So it's a miracle in itself that he walked to Vrindavan. Now you might say, yes, but in India people are accustomed to walking. They walk their whole life, you know. They can walk, right? There are many old people who walk, you know. So he walked. Maybe he rested a bit on the way here and there. You know, it took him some time and he made it. And walking was normal at that time. They had no cars or planes or anything. So that may not be a miracle after all. Okay. But then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami himself is saying, I am writing. He said, that's a miracle because my hand is shaking all the time. Now that we have seen, old people like sitting there, you know. But, so, of course you can try and shake in a certain way and try and write. But it's not easy, right? Not easy to shake out the letters, right? There was a further complication, and he's mentioning that also. He says, my hands are shaking and my eyes are just, I'm half blind. Yes, 90s again. And no glasses, right? So, you know, can you bring my reading glasses, please? You know, I mean, these are combined, you know, both reading without. I'm afraid that I would not be able to speak on the Bhagavad Gita, or I'd have to have a reader next to me. Yeah? But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was writing. He needed his eyesight, although he is in his 90s, no reading glasses, he managed. His hand was shaking and he managed. But that was not everything, right? Everybody knows in your old age you become forgetful.
What was that again? Yes. What was your name again?
So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also mentions that his brain, he says, my brain doesn't work anymore. Still, my hands are shaking, my eyesight is gone, my brain is not working. And still I'm writing. Oh, and then what does he write? He writes such a book, such a literature, Chaitanya Charitamrita, so sharp. So he begins with 14 verses. And these 14 verses are the seed verses of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. They're like an invocation. And in these 14 verses, he establishes all kinds of essential points about the Absolute Truth. And in one of these verses, there is the line, the following line, which says, Sada Ridaya Kandare Vosachinandana, which means that one should always have in the innermost chambers of his heart Sachinandana, which is Sachinandana is Lord Chaitanya. So may we always have Lord Chaitanya in the innermost chambers of our heart. So the innermost chambers of the heart, okay, nice poetry. But I'll enlighten you a little further about India, since I lived so long in India. In India, a house is different from an Australian house, right? Australian houses, typical Victorian kind of houses, you know, like... But in India, different architecture. So a traditional Indian house is made for the heat. Therefore, in India, a house always has a courtyard in the middle. So the middle is open courtyard, and then the house is built around it. That has different advantages. One is good for security. And two is lots of ventilation, like that. And it has another function. The outer rooms of the house near the main entrance, they are like public rooms. That's where you receive people. If someone comes to the house for some business, then you have those rooms and they come in there. The more private quarters of the house, where the family is, That's around the courtyard. So the ladies with the children, they have their quarters around the courtyard, and that's where home life happens, and it really happens there. And then the outer rooms are more for receiving guests, like that. So you have your inner rooms and your outer rooms. And let's say a stranger will never see your private home. He'll only see the outer rooms. He comes in the outer chambers of the home. But no, and the inner chambers, they just go on like that. So in the same way, if it is said that we should always carry Lord Chaitanya in the innermost chambers of our heart, then we can think of our heart like a house like that. So the public chambers of the heart are what we're sharing with everyone. You know, how are you today? How do you feel? Oh, I feel. And then comes out a whole story. But whatever is in the innermost chambers of the heart, you know, never tell anybody, right? That's private, you know. That's my private hidden secret. In that chamber, I have some closets with skeletons inside, and I have all kinds of things in my private chambers. And there, I have my hidden desires in these chambers. So when it says that one must have Satchinandan in the innermost chambers of the heart, it really means that we must have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu everywhere. Even our most hidden desire should be to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In other words, we should not have any other motive. That's what it means. So that is what this verse is all about, because it speaks about Ananya Chaitaha. It speaks about Ananya. Ananya Bhakti means unalloyed devotional service. Nothing but Krishna. In the Rupa Goswami, who is one of the principal disciples of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was Rupa Goswami. Formerly, Rupa Goswami was a government minister. He was very wealthy and obviously very intelligent. And Rupa Goswami, along with his brother Sanatan, on the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, settled down in Vrindavan. And there in Vrindavan, Rupa and Sanatan lived a very, very simple life. Rupa and Sanatan went to live under a tree. Now, just around the corner from our Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, we also had one Baba. He was living under a tree. And, well, this Baba, he was living for a long time under that tree, and he kind of settled in, you know. He had a special seat in between two roots, you know, just one corner, nice, nice. The roots, very comfy, kind of. Then he had some branches. He had one branch to dry his cloth, and he had another branch where he stored his plastic bags with, you know, some of the goodies that were to be kept in storage. And like that, he lived very nicely under his tree. Right. But not Rupa and Sanatan. Rupa and Sanatan lived under a different tree every night, just to avoid this element, you know, of settling in too much. And my tree is the best of all trees, and it's a really good tree. I love my tree. My tree and me, right? And all kinds of expressions like that. So Rupa and Sanatan would every day just, or every night rather, move around and stay under a different tree, wander here and there, and never have a fixed place. And it is said that they were so absorbed in Krishna consciousness that all the devotees from Bengal, who were the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they also wanted to go to Vrindavan, and they would regularly visit Vrindavan, and everyone was just talking. So, how was it in Vrindavan? How was it? What did Rupa and Sanatan do? Please, tell. What were they doing? How were they eating? How were they sleeping? What was going on? Everyone was talking. Have you heard? Rupa and Sanatan, you know, they are just sometimes even forgetting to sleep. No, yes. They don't even sleep sometimes. You mean they are into austerities? No, it's not that. They are so absorbed in glorifying Krishna, they forget to sleep. Forget to sleep? Yeah. They get so busy, they even forget to sleep. What do they do all day? What does that mean? It means they are writing unlimited transcendental literatures, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally instructed them in transcendental knowledge And then he told him, and now whatever you've heard from me, now you must research all the scriptures to provide evidence for all these teachings that I gave. And you write books like that. Nana shastra vicharanaika, scrutinizing all the scriptures and looking for different verses to support and underbuild the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sanatan Goswami wrote Hari Bhakti Vilas, and Rupa Goswami wrote the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Srila Prabhupada translated as the Nectar of Devotion. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it can also be translated a little more elaborate. It means bhakti, means devotional service. Ras means the taste that one experiences if one really surrenders to Krishna, which is like an ocean of transcendental experience, which one experiences in bhakti. So Rupa Goswami's book is not a dry book, it's the nectar of devotion. It's not the book where it says the rules and regulations of the devotional process, right, or something like that, right? Where we must very strictly follow everything so that we can reach the advanced stages of the yoga. Yes, of the bhakti yoga. Not of the karma jnana hatha yoga, but of the bhakti yoga. That must be achieved. So, Rupa Goswami is writing a book full of devotion. So we're here no longer speaking about a dry spiritual life. We're talking here about a life full of juice. Bhakti ras. Ras also means juice. Everyone knows, give me the ras. Yes. Juice. Mango ras. Yes. I had today. Was very good. But not as good as bhakti ras. This bhakti ras is still better. It is still. And an ocean of juice. Why not? And an ocean of bhakti, an ocean of nectarian devotion. So, but then we read this book, The Nectar of Devotion, and there are all kinds of rules also in the beginning for how to follow spiritual life and what not to do. It says, for example, you can tell the baby, it says that one should not cry in the temple. It's against the scripture, so you should teach him this, right? It's against the scripture to cry in the temple. And one should also not have fights in front of the deities, right? Not allowed, right? Okay, boys? Yeah. Not allowed. No fights. Like this, there are many, many rules, right? Given in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, of how to behave in devotional service. And the book is like a guideline of what to do in Krishna consciousness and what not to do. And then it gives us descriptions of what starts to happen and how the heart begins to change and how one overcomes all suffering and how everything in life becomes auspicious and how all traces of impersonalism disappear. And finally, how the final result of all devotional service is that devotional service is Sri Krishna Akarsana. It attracts Krishna. This is the most interesting part, right? When I came to this movement for the first time, I saw that everyone had one of these funny bags, right? And they explained to me it's all about chanting the Maha Mantra, etc. And after a while, I was also supposed to have one. And I felt quite self-conscious walking around with this thing around my neck, right? And people sometimes making remarks, oh, what happened, you know? Had an accident or something, right? Or what is it? And I must admit, I was sometimes hiding it under my coat, you know, when I was walking on the street, you know, like... I felt a little funny with my chanting bag. But in due course of time, chanting became part of my life, and I was chanting for quite a few years, when one day I was reading in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur is one of the greatest devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, known as the Nam Acharya, or the spiritual master who teaches by example how to chant the holy name. No one can chant as Haridas Thakur. We don't even have to try. That's another level. And I was reading that he was chanting every day 300,000 names, which is, if you calculate it, really exactly about 175 rounds a day. Yeah. So good luck. Yeah. And if anyone is ready for that. And then not just one day, but every day. Yeah. That's it's over my head. I have never made it yet, 175 myself. So it's a large number. So we've heard that many times, and I was reading it, yes, 300,000 names a day, and how amazing. But then the next thing I read was that he was chanting those 300,000 names a day for the pleasure of the Lord. And suddenly it was as if that little phrase, it struck me that day. I must have read it 100 times, but when I read it that day, it meant something to me. I was just thinking, he chanted 300,000 names a day for the pleasure of the Lord. I thought, I've never done that. I've never even chanted once for the pleasure of the Lord. I've chanted for many reasons. I've chanted, well, why have I chanted? I've chanted because I've had enough problems with karma, and I heard that if you chant, you get rid of karma. That's one reason why I chant it. I chant it because, I heard that if you chant, that you get a spiritual experience. And, well, I wouldn't mind having one. Yeah. So, I've chanted because I heard if you don't chant your rounds, you fall down. And that I really don't want to do, you know. Like, so I chant it out of fear, in other words. Chant it out of duty. Chant it out of curiosity. Chant it for so many reasons. But chant it for the pleasure of Krishna? Never thought of it. Yeah? And so that day, I read that and I was thinking, boy, this is a new revelation. I never thought of this. But this is the spirit of pure devotion. So, back to the writings of Rupa Goswami, the Nectar of Devotion. Rupa Goswami was writing about that. And in his Nectar of Devotion, he gave like a complete map, you could say. A complete map of spiritual life. From A to Z, the whole process mapped out of what happens on certain parts of the journey, what you will experience as you are following bhakti, and how you go deeper and deeper into it. So a very nice book, actually. Very nice. Really important. And it is said that the central theme of this book, right, of pure devotional service, or of the nectar of devotion, the central theme of the whole book is expressed in one verse. So in Sanskrit works, they say that the one verse that captures the actual meaning of a particular book is known as the Paribhasha Sutra. The Paribhasha Sutra is the one verse which captures the message of the whole book. So the Paribhasha Sutra of the Nectar of Devotion is Anyabilasita Sunyam Jnana Karmani Anabritam. It is explaining that one must be free from all other desires. Free from all other desires. So again, the same message. The same message that we are encountering here in this verse. Ananya Chita Sattatam. Without deviation of the mind. Yomam Smarati Nichasa. Always remember me. So this is actually what is required. So Rupa Goswami points out this can only be done if we are anya abhila sunyam, if we are free from any other desire, only Krishna. So all other desires must be given up. So this is actually bhakti yoga, this is Krishna consciousness. Therefore Krishna consciousness is the original spiritual process, because all other spiritual processes or religions of the world, it doesn't matter whether they are from India or from the Middle East or from the West or New Age or whatever they are, whether they are from Scandinavia or from the forests of South America, somewhere deep in the Amazon jungle, whatever it may be, or homemade here in Sydney, in your own little flat, whatever it may be, any process is accommodating both our own personal desire and the desire of the Lord. But here in Bhakti Yoga, that's not there. It's Anya Abhilasita Sunyam. There is nothing else. There is only whatever Krishna desires. Right? Well, at least in the book, isn't it? That's what's written in the book. Right? And not only in the Nectar of Devotion, not only, as I explained in the beginning, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, with that house, with the inner chambers, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must also be there and nothing else. It's in the Bhagavad Gita. It's all over our books. Right? Anya Abhilasita Sunyam. Nothing else. No other desire. It's nice that it's in the books, but what happens in practical reality? Right? That's slightly different, right? My material desires, right? I mean, talking about books, we could write volumes about that, right? Volumes and volumes. I mean, probably we would be penning all day and all night. My material desires, right? My needs, my dreams, and my frustrations, and all that. Right? So many. So, how do we rhyme the very exalted philosophy of Krishna consciousness, which we are trying to follow, and then where we practically are? Sometimes I've heard a comment where someone said that in this movement, people have the highest ideal and realized the least of it. Right? There's the biggest gap between the ideal and what people have realized of it. Right? So it's like, boy, it's a long way to pure devotional service, right? Is it even possible? Is it feasible, or is it something that's there in the books, just theoretical, just for the one exception who appears every, so many hundreds or thousands of years? There is one on the planet. And, well, the more advanced stages are all for him, and for the rest of us, we stay in the first few pages and say, like, well, it's really good, but, maybe a few more lifetimes, right? A few million more, who knows? So, and yet, here is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most merciful incarnation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears only once in a day of Brahma. In one day of Brahma, there are 1,000 cycles of 4 yugas. So, 1,000 Kali yugas are there in a day of Brahma. And only once in such a Kali yuga does Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appear. So it is very rare. And then he comes to give what is very, very rarely attained. Very rarely attained. I was in India once giving a lecture in a university, and there was a nice audience, very intelligent students, and I was having a good time. And there was also one elder gentleman, nice gray hair, aristocratic features, fair skin, really looked like a Pakka Brahmana, right? You can see in India, Pakka Brahmana, right? And he was just sitting there, and towards the end of my lecture, our Pakka Brahmana was beginning to do some serious breathing exercises called the fire breath. So I had a feeling that he wanted to say something. And sure enough, when I finished, I could hardly finish the last sentence, and he went like, "Oh, oh, oh, you spoke so wonderful. Oh, thank you so much. It was really, really very, very, very nice." He said, "You spoke about the Kris Dhatu." "Ah, Kris Dhatu," he said. "Kris Dhatu." He says, "Ka, ka for kala, ra for rakta, sa for sukla. Tri Yugi Narayan. Ah, Tri Yugi Narayan. Ah." So, it may need a little explanation. I appreciate that. I'll give the translation. So, Tri Yugi Narayan is a reference in the Vedic literature, which is mentioning that the Lord appears in three yugas. In the Satya Yuga, the Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, the Lord appears in different forms. So he was taking the Sanskrit root. In Sanskrit, every word has a root. You can bring it back to a root. And the word Krishna, you can bring it back to the Krish Dhatu, the root. Dhatu means root, and Krish is the root. So then he broke up that root in Ka, Ra, and Sa, and then he connected the three incarnations that appear in the various yugas to that, the white one, the red one, the black one, and like that he spoke about Sukla means Kapila, Rakta means Yajna from the Treta Yuga, and then we have the blackish incarnation for the Dwapara Yuga, Lord Krishna. Now, who, right, was the, then he's speaking about the three incarnations. So he's saying, yes, this is it. Here, within this name of Krishna, there are the three yuga avatars included. Ah, this is Narayan. Okay. So I said, well, thank you very much. This was a very nice explanation. Very, very nice. Yes, very nice. But the Vaishnava Acharyas, they give an even greater explanation. He said, oh. I said, yes, they say that the word, that the Krish Dhatu actually is relating to the word akarsan, which means to attract. And therefore that it is referring to he who is all attractive. And Na is relating to Anand. And by being attracted to him, one experiences full happiness. When I said this, he was even more in ecstasy and said, your explanation is even better than mine. He said, oh, so wonderful. Now, later on, I found out that this gentleman was was the director and a professor of a Sanskrit college, and probably he knew all the dhatus of all Sanskrit words, and here is a village pumpkin from Holland, right, like me, right, who, when it comes to Sanskrit, you know, mumbles and jumbles all kinds of things and just shows off a few dhatus, but I hardly know what dhatu means, you know. And there I was, right, to tell this professor what it was all about. Huh? How was it possible? Not by any credit of mine, but simply because I was repeating, right, what the great Vaishnavacharyas had said. And that was superior to what this gentleman knew. So, although there are people in India who are very, very learned, very, very learned, they may not know everything that was given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even great Pakka Brahmanas, they may still not know the highest conclusions as is being taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even although they know all the mantra and the tantra and everything, it doesn't mean that they know as much as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching. So he's in this way the most merciful incarnation. And he gives it to us. Village pumpkins and you know, other vegetables from wherever we're from. Yeah, I may be a village pumpkin, some bhaktin may be a hot tomato, and everyone gets it, right? It doesn't matter. Everyone gets it, right? Whatever we are, we get Krishna consciousness. Amazing enough. What are our qualifications? What are our sanskaras? Where are we from, right? Where are we from? I know where I'm from, and you know where you're from, right? A bunch of refos, they say. Excuse me. But that's what I heard during my short time in Australia. I was educated here for 14 months. I learned that. What can we do, right? We probably wouldn't do too good if we would have to produce our ancestry here, you know. Most of us would, like, have to waffle our way through, right? My Karmi name is just Cook, you know. That's not very aristocratic, doesn't it? I mean, it's like, I'm sorry, sounds like just some ordinary guy in the kitchen, right? So I'm afraid that I'm not from a very aristocratic family. And even if you are from an aristocratic family in Europe, that doesn't necessarily mean very much at all. You know, I wouldn't advise you to take birth in any such family at any time. Right? So, to make a long story short, right? What this movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us is really the crown of all knowledge. There is nothing that compares. Even the most learned brahmanas, talking about another brahmana I met in India, one time, this was in Benares, there was also one, a very learned brahmana, and he had studied also in the Benares Hindu University, he got a degree in the Samaveda, and this brahmana could recite the entire Samaveda by heart, and he gave us a demonstration, and we were a few devotees, you know, from both west and east, and we were sitting there, and the man starts to recite like a storm, you know. So like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. After 20 minutes, we... Wonderful, 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 fantastic. We cut him off because we couldn't even tolerate to listen that long, right? What to speak of to learn all those verses. And yet, the man did not know about pure devotional service. And even if theoretically he knew, still... he had not dedicated his life fully to the service of the Lord. He had not given up everything and anything just for the pleasure of Krishna. He had not given his full life. Yeah. Therefore, all his recitation, all his years, how many years must he have practiced? Only the Samaveda, nothing but Samaveda. Samaveda for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and at night, you know, a tape of the Samaveda. I mean, Samaveda, you know. I mean, I'm sure he doesn't say good morning to anyone. He just says Samaveda. You know? I mean, Samaveda. Right. So, but what is the result of all that Samaveda? Right? It's still not pure devotional service. So, whatever our background is, whether it is high or low, it's not high enough. Right? It's not as high as what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us. Right? Nowhere are we finding that demand, complete surrender. Right? That's what this movement is about. So therefore, we are not a club, right? We're not a club. I know there are lots of clubs, tennis clubs, bowling clubs, just here on the lawn, right? Different spiritual clubs, and this is not the Hare Krishna club, and it's not good enough to just be a member, and it's not good enough to just wear the uniform, and it's not good enough to paint your nose, and it's not good enough to come once a week, and it's just, we're not satisfied at all. You know, if you go to church every Sunday, right, and you give a donation, you know, like in the bag, etc., you're okay. You're okay. You're okay. But not in our movement, sorry. You know, you can give your donation, and a fat one even, every week. You can come to the Sunday feast. You can come even on weekdays as well. But, sorry, it's not good enough. Right? So what are we? An ungrateful movement? One movement where it's never good enough, you know? I've given everything my whole life. It's not good enough, you know? All right. I'll give you my life savings. Okay, good, you know. It's nothing, right? This is actually Krishna conscious philosophy, right? I've given you my life savings. I've given up my everything. I moved into the temple. I gave my whole life, shaved off my hair. I've given 25, 30 years of my life. I give everything. It's not good enough. Oh my God, you know, is it ever good enough, right? Never good enough. I quit, you know. No, it's not in that mood, right? It's rather, Krishna is the opposite. It's not that Krishna is ungrateful. It's not that Krishna is sitting up there and saying, I am the Supreme Lord of all I survey, and I want complete surrender. Complete. And nothing else. I will accept. And if you fail to fully surrender, and there is the slightest trace... Before you laugh too much, let me finish the sentence. If there is the slightest trace of material desire, take birth again. I am the Supreme Lord. And I like it. Yeah? That's not Krishna, right? And nothing is good enough for me. Sorry, good try, wasn't good enough, right? You didn't surrender fully, yes? Back to square one. Right? Another birth. Yes. Yes. So is this actually what's going on? No, it's not exactly like that. Krishna is at the same time most appreciative. Most appreciative. If we study the Nectar of Devotion, then there's one chapter which describes the qualities of Krishna. And in one of these descriptions, we find a description of Draupadi. And it said that Draupadi, she was such a great devotee, but unfortunately she got caught up in this gambling match that Yudhisthira had with the Kurus, and where everything was lost, and where even Draupadi was lost, right? And where Draupadi became the property of the Kurus, and then Duryodhan arranged it, gave order, all right. You know, now we will see the beauty of Draupadi, and then they decided to publicly disrobe her, and all this was going on, and these big kshatriyas began to pull off her sari, and first she held on with two hands, but then as you could see, this is not going to do anything, you know, muscles like that, these guys have, you know, what can I do? So she just threw her hands up in the air and called out, "Hey, Govinda." And it said at that time, Krishna supplied unlimited lengths of cloth, so much that the whole room just filled up with like a huge pile of cloth, right, until everyone was just wading through the sari, and you can imagine the whole scene, right, that was taking place there. So that stopped them for a while, so it is mentioned in the qualities of Krishna that Krishna said that whenever I remember how Draupadi just surrendered to me at that time, and how she called out my name, whenever I remember, my appreciation for her increases. So when I read that, again, you know, I had one of my days, boing, wow, you know, this is really interesting. I found it. I thought, I found it, you know. Eureka, Eureka, Eureka. I have found it, I have found it. You see, in the Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse. And this is a very famous verse. It's called the spiritual bank balance verse. Does anybody know it? Any pundits here? Any scriptural scholars? The bank balance verse, the spiritual bank balance verse. Any? Okay, not all at once, yeah, okay. Alright, I'll help you a little. It starts, never was there any a loss or a diminution. Right? The point is that there is no loss or diminution in spiritual life, and whatever we do, it will always stay there, and Prabhupada said it will accrue like in a bank account, you know. So whatever service we've done, it will never be lost. So I heard the spiritual bank balance account example so many times and the verse with it, etc. But I was always thinking in the back of my mind, said, well, what about the interest? Huh? Yeah, I mean, it's got to get some interest, right? It's like thinking, so where's the interest? Huh? So as I was reading this day in the Nectar of Devotion, I found it. It said that the appreciation of the Lord for the service of Draupadi was every time he thought about this service that she did, that his appreciation was increasing. Hey, I found the interest. And of course, it says that Krishna never forgets anything. So that means his appreciation goes on eternally, right? Therefore, I want to ask you who are, see if there's any finance man here who can figure out for me, what is the percentage of that interest? Anybody? Somebody, I heard a voice, but... Aha, see, the people from India, they are very good at these things. Yes, infinite, unlimited. Right? It is no limit. Well, so here we see that we invest so much of our energy into so many things. Right? The new house, you know, the new this, the new that, right? Always something new to invest in. But always with limited returns. But here, we get unlimited returns. So there's no better investment. Yeah. Anyway, that's so much about interest. Thank you very much. That's good. For me, when I read about that quality, it struck me that Krishna is not just a cold personality who sits there, I want perfect, pure devotional service and no less. Right? And if you're less, another birth. Right? No. It sounds like the opposite. Krishna is very appreciative. There is another mention in the Krishna book which describes that Krishna is Achyuta. He's known as Achyuta. What does it mean, Achyuta? Infallible. Right. So there it said Krishna is known as infallible because he never fails to notice even the slightest service done. So putting all these things together, Krishna never fails to notice even the slightest service done. Then, whenever Krishna remembers that little bit of service, his appreciation for it is always increasing, right? So, that doesn't rhyme anymore with the heavy God who sits there and said, nothing but pure devotional service is good enough for me, and yet another birth. No, it means a very merciful and kind Supreme Lord who cares about every living being, and who wants to bring every living being closer, and who does everything he can, right, to bring us up to the point of pure devotional service. But that is what it's all about. So Krishna came so many times. And as it's stated, it is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a portion where Krishna speaks about how he was saying, I have come, I have taught Bhagavad Gita, and the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita I have taught, and the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita was, just surrender unto me. Sarva dharmam paricheyam amikam saranam braja. Give up all variety of activity, or religion, just surrender unto me. Right? That's the essence. It doesn't matter if we do this ritual or that ritual, that's the purpose of it is to surrender to Krishna. So, he said, I've told everyone, surrender unto me, then I will deliver you from all your karma. Don't worry. Don't worry. Still they don't surrender. So what to do? So then, it is said Krishna decided that he would come himself in the form of a devotee and to be most merciful and to give what had never been given before. First of all, complete knowledge. Knowledge that even the most learned did not have. Knowledge that nobody figured out on his own. Because, you know, nobody on his own could ever have imagined, right? That the Supreme Lord is blackish bluish like a rain cloud and plays a flute and all that and wears a peacock feather. I mean, I had many ideas about God before and some interesting ones, but not this one. Yeah? And then I came up with this one, you know. And this was wilder than my wildest dreams. Right. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and made it immediately clear. And here we are, and we're getting the whole package all at once. You know, we walk in the door, and on the first day we already know who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, 100% clear. And we already know impersonalism. How is it possible, you know, that we are God? How could we be God, right? If we are God, then how is it that we forgot, right?
Is God getting old? We heard he's old. Is he getting that old that he forgets his name? I'm God. I forgot.
Well, how can God forget that he's God? Can God ever forget? No. Krishna never forgets. Little baby Krishna. Oh, he's so beautiful. Ever all the ladies want to play with him. The residents of Vrindavan, very happy, little baby Krishna. And there comes a beautiful demigoddess. Putana, Putana is my name. Killing children is my game. Put a little poison there. Oh, baby, baby Krishna. Oh, this child, he looks like he can destroy the entire universe. Ah, what am I thinking? And Putana died and turned into a huge witch that she originally was. Right? She had just taken that form of a beautiful girl to bewilder the minds of anyone, because a beautiful girl gets anything she wants. Right? So she used that. Anyway, but Krishna, even as a baby, was still the all-powerful Supreme Lord. Never stopped being the Supreme Lord. He was always Krishna. Not that now Krishna is suffering from amnesia. You are God. Krishna, you're God. Remember now, you know, follow this yoga process and you'll be it again. No. Right? Krishna was always God, right? Always. So it's not that through yoga we can become God. So all this confusion in the world, right, that exists in one stroke, finished when we come to the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everything crystal clear. Totally crystal clear. We know what is the goal of life. And then, instead of doing this ritual and that ritual, oh, you fool, you did it wrong. You lit the lamp first and you should have put the water, and now that you have not done it, will not work. Oh, do it again. Right? All the complexities of the ritual, right? How to do it correct. And this Brahmana says we should do that way. No. He told you all wrong. Don't listen to him. No. He doesn't know what he's talking. You must do like this. And all these things, right? The confusion, who to follow, what to do, what not to do. Here's one scripture. No. There is another scripture. Hold on. I have the scriptures of scripture. Yes, read this book. And one Brahmana brings the biggest book. That must be it. Right, it's super big, right? And in this way, in the end, you know, you can't see that, you don't know anymore what to follow, who to listen to, totally confused. Finished. It's all clear, the goal is clear, crystal clear, and the process is so simple. Just chant Hare Krishna.
But Swamiji, it cannot be. No. Can't we do a yajna? Maha yajna with 108 yajnashalas, and we do like all swaha and all this. We must, right? That must be so powerful. Oof, now we are doing maha yajna and Swami has come to do maha yajna. Yes. He has. Here it is.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Maha yajna complete. Yes. Surprise, huh? We did not think it could be so simple. It cannot be so simple. I don't believe it. It must be more complex. I am more complex. And how am I going to get rid of all my complexes by such a simple process? No, it cannot be. There must be something more. No, there is nothing more. Nothing. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam kalu nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gati raneta. Nothing else. This is it. The chanting of the holy name. And, but then why wasn't it practiced before? Is it then some sort of special concession for people who cannot follow anything else, right? For those who are so who are not capable of doing the yajna. But if you're capable of doing the yajna, you should do the yajna. But you know, when you're like too dumb for anything, is this, you know, is this spiritual life for dummies? You know these kind of book. You know, spiritual life for dummies. Is that what it is? Yeah. No. It's actually it's not as easy as you think it is. You know, it takes a while to perfect this chanting. Right. It takes a lot of practice. And when we practice like this, yes, then gradually we are learning. So I want to end with one nice quote from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's a quote of Prabhupada, actually. It's like he said that Lord Chaitanya never tried to be the master of the holy name, but he tried to be the servant of the holy name. See, this is like a great thing. So I said, okay, the goal was crystal clear, the process crystal clear, chanting of the holy name, and now it's just a matter of practice. So we just got to master the art of chanting, right? That's all. Practice makes perfect. So in the beginning, we can't chant very well, you know, chant, Prabhupada's favorite cartoon, right? And then we gradually start chanting, you know, after a while, okay, one round, two round, three round, four round, eight round, 12 round, come on, do the other four, don't be a miser, you know. But, you know, I feel happy at 12, that's okay, but when you chant 16, it's a blessed number. It's blessed by Prabhupada. You think Prabhupada's blessings are cheap? No, they're very powerful. So, 16's gotta be. What can we do? Okay, 16 then. Hare Krishna, 2 hours every day, you know. But how do I do it? Prabhupada said very simple. Four rounds before meals and four rounds before going to bed, right? That makes three meals times four is 12 plus four makes 16. So, different systems, in other words, if we make a plan to chant, we'll chant. Okay, we got the quantity. Whew, do it every day. Now it's quality. Oh boy, how to chant attentively, how to chant without offenses, how to chant pronounced properly, Hare Krishna, then a lip exercise, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, 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 and all these kind of things, right? It's a whole thing. And then, after years of practice, you finally got it down, you know, you got the number down, you can keep you pronounce it nicely, okay, you know, you try to avoid offenses, you're conscious of it all, and you finally got it all worked out, and then they tell you that Lord Chaitanya never tried to be the master of the art of chanting. And you go, my God, you know, I've been practicing here for all these years, and finally I thought I had it down, right? Finally I thought I had it figured out. And now they're telling me, you're not supposed to try and be the master, right, of the holy name. You're not supposed to master the art of the holy name, but supposed to be the servant of the holy name. Whew. Again, a whole mental adjustment. Again, once again, every time in this movement, you got to change your whole mentality around, you know. And again, once again, God, does it ever stop? The answer is never. It just goes on and on. Anyway, this time, in the mood of the servant of the holy name. Yes, the holy name is Krishna. And let that holy name be heard. And let that holy name be served by my tongue. Let this tongue of mine simply dedicate itself to the holy name. And pronounce this holy name proper. And make this holy name known everywhere in this world. And by doing so, all perfection will be attained, especially in this age. Why? Because katanchana smriti yasmin duskaram sukaram bhavet. That explains everything, doesn't it? Clear as anything. Or should I give the translation? Just for some of you who don't know the translation, I'll give it. It is said that by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even all difficult things become easy. And without the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even easy things become difficult. Therefore, this is how it is. We have the chanting of the holy name, it's Krishna. And if you chant that name and serve that name,
right, in different ways. Make it glorious. Chant it nicely, right? Remember the name. It's Krishna. Serve that name always. Help to spread the name. Give the name. If we in this way serve the name, yes, that's nice. But because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is helping and making it easy, now is the best time to attain perfection through this chant. And that sums it all up. And all we have to do is follow all that, and we can come to this stage of being free from any other desire. And we can actually attain full perfection this lifetime and go back to Godhead. And it doesn't have to take millions and millions and millions of births, right? At all. It can be done now, this lifetime. Everybody can go. Right? Say, okay, thanks a lot, Maharaj. Great class, but sounds a bit too difficult for me. I don't think I'm ready for it yet. I'll try, but still think I probably won't go back to Godhead this lifetime. I also think like that. But I have one hope. It's called hope against hope. Right? Hope against hope. Yeah. That still I'll be allowed to go. And on the strength of what? Well, Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture. And in that lecture he explained how Prahlad was being protected by Nrisingadev. And Nrisingadev killed his father, and his father had a benediction of Brahma. And the benediction was he wouldn't be killed inside nor outside, nor in the day and the night, nor in the air, nor on the land, and so many other such conditions. Right? And the Lord killed Hiranyakasipu and kept all those benedictions intact. Right? And killed him in a half man, half like killed him with the nails, killed him on his lap, killed him at dusk, so not in the day, not in the night, and not inside, outside, in the doorway, like that. So many, all the conditions met. Why did the Lord do that? Because Lord Brahma had granted these benedictions. Rishi Vakya. The Lord upholds the word of the saintly person. Therefore, he upheld the word of the saintly person. And Prabhupada said, yes, the Lord upholds the word of the saintly person. Rishi Vakya. So, if the saintly person says, if you chant 16 rounds and follow 4 regulative principles, then you'll go back to Godhead, then the Lord upholds that. So, hey, this changes the whole ball game, right? I just thought that I probably wouldn't make it this lifetime, but I have hope again, because Prabhupada said it, right? And then Prabhupada, in this particular lecture that I just quoted, even clarified it, right? How it works, and therefore, if we simply dedicate our lives to following Srila Prabhupada, right, back this lifetime. Right? So in this way, this is the most wonderful movement for all the people of the whole world, and it doesn't matter where you took the birth, it is the crown of everything you have ever learned. It is Rajavijam Rajaguyam. It is the king of all knowledge. Whatever you've learned, this is better. And therefore, let's take it and let's go forward and just dedicate our lives to Krishna consciousness in the process as given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without deviation. As faithful as possible. That's all we have to do. That's what it means to be servant, to be a good follower. A servant is supposed to be a good follower. He's not supposed to, I want this, I want that. No, you're just a servant. Be a good follower. And if we are good followers of Srila Prabhupada, the perfect follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we'll attain perfection. Simple as that. With that, I will end this very long class. Can I do it? Leaving tomorrow, so I thought I put it all in one class. If you have any question, I can take a few minutes for that. Yeah. No, please. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We're also saying prayers. In Krishna. Yeah, no, we do. We do. No, 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 no. Who has told you that? Oh, just see. They haven't given you the full information. We have 9 processes that make up bhakti. And one of them is known as... But I pray to Krishna. Oh, I do that. I do that. I say, Krishna this and Krishna that. Ooh, Krishna. Ugh, my back. I, Krishna, what's going on? Krishna, I know I'm such a wretch. Oh, Krishna, I blew it again. Sorry, Krishna, I'll try really to be better. My dear Supreme Lord, so far I haven't been serious for one day in my life yet. I'm going to try. 5 minutes later, I fall down for my prayer again. What can I do? No, it works. You can talk to Krishna. He's here. He's with you. Talk to Krishna. You can. I do it too. That's okay. Now, okay, but first of all, I wanted to explain to you that we have it too, right? It's not only that you had... Now, you may still feel more comfortable with the old one. That's fine. Okay. Now, I don't call it impersonal either. Somebody has really been giving you a hard time, eh? They told you you're impersonalist? No, I don't think so. I don't think Christians are impersonal. Some of them. But many are actually believing in a personal God. But beyond all that, right? Beyond all that, you have to just... we don't ask. There's one difference between us and Christianity. We don't ask you when you come in the door, do you have faith? And if you don't have faith, right, you're lost. In this movement, we say, you don't have faith, doesn't matter. Okay? That doesn't matter. All that we don't ask you to believe it. All that we ask you is suspension of disbelief. Suspension of disbelief means, okay, we don't ask you to believe it, but we also ask you to not that you don't believe it. Not to disbelieve. Okay, thanks a lot. I was looking for the right... you're an English school teacher, are you? good. I was getting stuck with my grammar there. You saved me. Not to disbelieve, exactly. We're asking you not to disbelieve.
Yeah, but if I believe
in God, no, but is there a difference? Look, you can believe in the Christian God, but maybe he's Krishna. Maybe he, after all, he's Krishna. It could be, you know, that God the Father, you know, that what's his name, you know, Krishna, after all. Yeah? That could well be. I'm not saying it isn't that. So all I'm saying, no disbelief, that's all. Don't disbelieve in Krishna. That's all we're asking from you, because you don't know. See? It's like I met an atheist, right? I met an atheist in the road, and the man was like, you know, totally convinced. And I said, congratulations, congratulations. It is so rare that one finds a believer in this world, you know. Somebody who really believes so strong in his conviction. Most people just say, well, God, I don't know. He can never figure it out. But to find someone with such a conviction who says, I know there is no God. Says, congratulations, such a believer I've rarely found. Right? So don't be a believer of the negative. Don't disbelieve. We don't ask you to believe, and we're asking you not to disbelieve. We're just asking you investigate and hear more about it, and maybe you'll find that actually that God of the Bible is Krishna after all. Yeah, and that Jesus is also there, you know, having a rasgulla with Krishna and all this. Why not? Yeah. Yeah. Harinama, Harinama Eva Kevalam.
So to always chant the holy name, but to not just chant it mechanically, but to realize the meaning of that holy name, and to see that the prayer that is within, and to actually prayerfully chant the holy name, and gradually to go very deep and realize that that holy name is Krishna, and to glorify Krishna. Not just to pray, my Lord, please help me, help my mother also, she's old now, and like help my little daughter to pass her exam. Please, my Lord, help. Lord, help to relieve all the suffering of this world, my dear Lord. Please grant us this boon, help. No, to simply glorify the Lord. The essence of everything is the constant glorification of the Supreme Lord and His devotees. And this is Harinam Sankirtan. And the more we do it, the more we say, all glories to the Lord, right? And His wonderful qualities. And this is what Krishna consciousness is. The more everything becomes wonderful, and the more the whole world knows what to do, it gives us an occupation, it gives us an experience of ecstasy, it transforms everything into the spiritual world. And that's the way to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the best. Constant glorification of Krishna and His devotees. Yeah, okay, I think we can, yes, please. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Correct. Yeah. You see, if you really study scripture, then one could possibly find certain injunctions of how to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But then, in this age of Kali, there is the added mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, Nam namakari bahudani cha sarva saktis tatarpitani amata smaranena kala itadri sitta vakripa bhagavan mamati durdaivam idrisam ihajini nana raga. Which means that I've invested all my transcendental energy into this name, and there are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. That's it. In any way, somehow or other, we chant, even if we are not chanting in the proper rule, still it works. Therefore it is said that you can take all the mantras and they are in one circle, right? If you go to the peak, they take you up to a certain level. And if you go down, the mantras reach out to a certain level of qualification. But around all these circles, we can make the circle of the holy name. It reaches higher and it reaches lower. This holy name can be given to the lowest who cannot follow any regulative principle. And yet they can make advancement and it gives you the highest realization. It is the most powerful and the most merciful process. No other mantra compares. Nam namakari bahudha nija sarva saktis tatarpita niyamata smaradi nakala itadrisita kappa kripa. Very nice. No hard and fast rules. This is directly quoted from the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu scripture. What can I say? No hard. Easiest. Anyone. Children can do. Then it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, even if you cannot pronounce properly, but if you have the intention to pronounce properly, you can be delivered. Now, I have traveled a lot and I have practical experience with that. I have seen devotees who were chanting 16 devotional rounds of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And, you know, with one devotee, I thought, what would happen if Krishna would come one day, you know? You'd be scared, right? I have been in Russia, where I've heard some people chant Kare Krishna, Kare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Kare Kare. Also in the kirtan. Yeah? And of course, you know, I don't have to tell you about China. there's a lot of R's in the Maha Mantra, you know. So for the Chinese, it may be a little complex.
But somehow or other, even Hare Krishna will do, right? If it is sincerely chanted. Yes. Amazing, huh? Very merciful. Huh? Correct. Hmm. Yeah. I think that it actually says, right, for the kundali energy to rise up the spine, it one must have really high qualifications, right? And in this process of kundalini yoga, it is not only the essence to bring up the kundalini, right, but to use that rather to uplift the ojas energy and to increase the ojas, and that gives us a lasting level. It says for doing that, for ojas, bringing up ojas, you have to be a whole lifetime of celibate, right? So I'm afraid that kundalini yoga is too late for us. We started a little too late in life. So therefore I'm saying this dancing, the main thing is not so much the kundalini. The main thing, what it does, it brings out the ecstasy of the heart. And that carries a man. See, you know it yourself. When you have enthusiasm in your heart, you can do anything. Anything you can do. If you really feel enthusiastic about it, nothing can stop you. You can fly. Right? And that's what this dancing does. It changes the heart. Brings out the natural enthusiasm out of the heart. Like that. Spiritual. You try. Anytime. You're welcome. Yeah, the night is getting is moving along, so I don't know how long we should go on with this. I think it's 9 o'clock and the arti is now gonna happen, so we'll just chant. Yeah, well I'll play a little harmonium and sing and see how it develops from there. So thank you very much for spending the night with us. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Jai.